take your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. You know, just reminded again as we watch that video, I think we're not as struck with the forgiveness that we receive because we don't think we're that bad a people. I'm not, you know, I didn't do any of those things. Yeah, we did. All right. Bibles, yes, Bibles this morning. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. If you just forgot your Bible today, you can use it and then set it back on the table on the way out. Somebody else can use it next week. But if you'd like to have a Bible this morning, raise up your hand. One of the ushers will gift you one as we're in the scriptures this morning. Really excited about this new series today, focusing on the last words of Jesus on the cross. This morning we'll be looking at his statement, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I have to admit, before diving into the series, that I struggled. It took me several weeks to discern what the Lord wanted me to share these final weeks of summer. It was earlier this year that I mentioned in a service that I took a radically different approach to my 2014 preaching calendar as opposed to my 2013 preaching calendar. My 2013 calendar, I took you know, several days away and planned out the entire year. So, you know, in January of 2013, I knew what I was going to be speaking in July of 2013, and so on and so forth. And I was grateful for that and grateful for all the things that we learned and things that were taught. But there were a couple times during that year that I just wondered if, you know, I'd maybe put God in a box a little bit. And so this year I took just a radically different approach and just said, "Lord, whatever you're laying on my heart, whatever you're speaking to me about, those are the things that I'm going to, you know, bring before your people at Adventure Church." And so up until the time I was getting ready to leave for vacation, I, you know, things were kind of clicking along. And I was like, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I know what I'm doing in the fall. And of course, Christmas time, it's always a Christmas series. I'm really excited about it. But okay, I've got 7 weeks here, Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to share?" Because I wanted to have a greater sense of freedom in following the Holy Spirit's leading as we move from series to series. And I wanted to be sure that I was in tune and keeping in step with the Spirit. So does that make sense to everybody? You know, because I don't get a script. You know, I don't get like some office sends me like, "Here's what you're doing." You know, I need to pray and discern God's voice and say, "Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to share?" And so let me tell you how God led me to this, you know, particular subject. It was a month ago yesterday. I can't even believe it. It was a month ago yesterday that the Air Force held its memorial service for Sam Kinney out at Beale. And I was privileged to take part in that service. And as I met with the family in the days leading up to that service, Laura showed me Sam's journal. And in that service, I was able to share his final journal entry written the second to last Sunday Sam attended here at Adventure, June 8th, 2014. And this was his final journal entry in that journal. "Amos Jackson was born 5 days ago, June 3rd at 1734. That's my boy. Call Dad today and ask about fixing the bike. New church, new baby, new life. God, help me be a good husband and father. Help me be a man on mission, to lead a woman on mission, to lead a boy on mission." How powerful is that? How powerful is that? The message I gave that morning was titled "Living on Mission." And I was profoundly struck by these last words written by a new friend, from our perspective, taken far too soon. It got me thinking about last words. Everyone will utter words which will end up being our last. You do realize that, right? We will all have final words. I remember a pastor once saying, when I was younger, how he hoped he would die in the pulpit so his last words would be preaching. And I remember thinking as a kid, like, how traumatizing would that be? Like, okay, great for you, you know, great for you, but if I was in a service, for the weeks leading after that, I was like, I hope he doesn't die today. You know, I hope he doesn't, like, die right in the middle of his sermon, because he, like, had this, you know, wish that that's how he would go. Not me. Here are some famous last words, okay? "Lord, help my poor soul," Edgar Allan Poe. "Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something," Pancho Villa. Leonardo da Vinci, I've offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. Amazing. George Washington, I die hard, but I'm not afraid to go. H.G. Wells, go away, I'm all right. Yikes. And Elizabeth I, Queen of England, all my possessions for a moment of time. While these are interesting, there are no more compelling words than those of Jesus as he was dying on the cross. Let's read some of them here in Luke chapter number 23, starting in verse number 33. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. From this passage and the other gospel accounts, we compiled this list of seven last sayings, seven words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So for the next 7 weeks, we'll be going through these. And she's not here today, but Lisa Scott is responsible for all this. So I just wanted to say a big thank you publicly to Lisa. Didn't she do a great job? Was it great? Yeah, so a big thank you to Elisa for putting all those together for us. And Nick helped us actually get them up. And I called Nick Vericchio this week, because that's Christy's son. I said, hey, I got a project, because my go-to-go-on-a-tall-ladder person is at Marine Boot Camp, you know? So my regular go-to for, I said, would you mind helping me with this? He's like, yeah, absolutely, I'd be glad to help. So big thanks to Nick for helping us get those up here yesterday. All-powerful words, last words, final sayings. And we begin with forgiveness. This last word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This last word, number one, reminds us of our greatest need. Reminds us of our greatest need. I love this quote. I'm not sure who to attribute it to. I've seen it for several years. It goes this way. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. And these words, this last word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is a reminder of our greatest need. It's a fascinating statement, one that is truly profound. Consider those to whom he may have been referring. Think about all that Jesus had gone through leading up to this moment when he's on the cross. And the video, you know, went through some of that stuff. The person that, you know, put the crown of thorns upon his head. The people that beat him. The people that disowned him. Think about the religious leaders that wanted nothing more than for Jesus to just be eradicated and be gotten out of the way. The religious leaders. The people who claim to love and serve the Old Testament God. God sends his son and they reject him and they want him dead. They want him killed. The Roman soldiers who inflicted such brutality upon Jesus. We often and rightly so think about the time when Jesus was on the cross, but let's not ever forget the great pain and suffering that Jesus Christ went through long before he got to the cross. The blood was not shed just on Calvary's cross. The blood was shed long before that as the Roman soldiers had their way. Think about the disciples. Those disciples who said, we will go with you to the death. And where did they go? They took off. Several of them. Peter, first and foremost, I will not deny you. How dare you say I'll deny you? I'll never deny you. I will be with you until the end. Three times, Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. And that's exactly what happened. He goes out and he weeps bitter tears. All the people that had abandoned him, all the people that had hurt him, all the people that were inflicting all of this pain, physical, emotional, mental pain, stress, and anguish upon him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Bible makes it very clear in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us has done things that is contrary to God's law. And our most desperate need is for forgiveness, for the slate to be wiped clean, not just to be made better, not just to reform ourselves, not just to dust ourselves off and be better than the next guy. I'm a better husband than those other husbands. I'm a better wife than those other wives. I'm a better mom, better father, better friend, better teen, better classmate, better teammate. It's not about comparing ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says when we do that, we are not wise. We are all sinners, and we are all in need of forgiveness. It's been 10 years now since the Passion of the Christ, and some of you may not remember or realize this. Go ahead and hit the next one. When they actually filmed the scene where they drive the nail into the hands of Jesus, the director of this film, Mel Gibson, actually is the person, that's actually his hand holding the nail. He didn't want the actor who was playing the Roman soldier to be the one that was depicting it. Mel Gibson said, I need to be the one that's holding the nail because it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. Fascinating story. And that's so very true. Every single one of us, we put the nails into Jesus. We hung him on the cross. We've got to come to grips with that because our sin, our separation from God, is what caused God to send Jesus into this world to die on the cross so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be bought back, so that we could be reconciled, so that we could be forgiven. So this last word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, reminds us of our greatest need. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is for forgiveness. Number two, this last word reminds us of our greatest blessing. Of our greatest blessing, to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. It's page 808 in that Adventure Bible, if you've got one of those and not sure where that's at. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. So as you're thinking about, you know, putting scripture to memory and having verses that you don't want to have around in your house or in your car or on your fridge or, you know, in your wallet or someplace having scripture, this is a great scripture to commit to memory. This is a great scripture to have written down and placed around you in your life. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus as personal Savior, if you have become a recipient of His forgiveness, the Bible teaches that you are no longer under any kind of condemnation. You are a forgiven, redeemed, reconciled child of God. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. There is no condemnation. It is an amazing thing to be forgiven. And that's why I was getting ahead of myself, because that video was moving me. We take it for granted, because I really think, Pastor Greg, I'm in church. I mean, you don't know what a lot of my friends are doing today, you know, but I'm in church. I'm a good person. I'm not saying you're a bad person. What I'm saying is we're all sinners in need of forgiveness. And we come to realize just how far away we are from God's standard of perfection and holiness and righteousness. And we realize that we have been forgiven as we accept Jesus. That is an awesome thing. That is the greatest blessing, is to know that we have been forgiven and there's no condemnation. No one can point the finger at you. No one can point the finger at me and say, you are not worthy. because I am in Christ Jesus. I have been placed in him. When we are in Christ, all our sins are covered by his death. Every one of them, all of your past sins, all of your present sins, all of your future sins, they are all covered by the blood of Jesus, and there is no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. That's part of the great exchange, which we'll talk more about in week 4 when Jesus cries out to the Father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? But quickly here, the great exchange where God sees us through the righteousness of Christ, when Jesus is dying upon the cross, our sin, our guilt, our death, our hell, our punishment, all of that is placed upon Jesus. So when Jesus is dying on the cross, he's bearing in his body the iniquity of us all, the Bible teaches. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, all of his righteousness and holiness and goodness is bestowed upon us and covers us. So that when God looks upon us, when God looks upon you, when God looks upon me, he doesn't see just Greg Manser. He sees Greg Manser clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. I am in Christ. I'm so grateful for that. Because if God saw me for who I really was, if God saw me for the things I still struggle with in this life, I would be on a very, very short course, not toward redemption, but toward someplace else. But God doesn't see us that way. God's when we accept Jesus as Savior, we are placed in Christ, and we are viewed now through the righteousness of Jesus. And that, my friends, is the greatest blessing that we could ever experience. If you're here, whether I was 6 years old, I was 6 years old when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And from the age of 6, I have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Maybe for you, you were a child. Maybe it was vacation Bible school or Sunday school or a summer camp that you went to. Maybe it was as a teenager. Maybe it was part of youth group. Maybe it was as an adult. Maybe it was in your later years as an adult. Doesn't matter when it was. Once you were placed in Christ, you were forgiven. Everything, past, present, and future, all under the blood. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This last word reminds us of our greatest blessing. If you're here today and you're a child of God, man, just rejoice in that. Bask in that. Just bask in it. Where's Trey? So Tracy loves it hot, okay? So the hotter it is, the more she likes it, okay? So she loves it. So today, weather, you know, we're constantly fighting, you know, about the AC in our house. I'm like down, down, down. She's like up, up, up. The hotter the better, you know. She goes, you know, so we're inside. We go outside, and I'm like, wow, it's like, you know, it kind of takes your breath away. It's like 102, 103 degrees. But Tracy's like, this is wonderful. You know, and then we go shopping, you know, and we go to Walmart or Winco, wherever we're at, you know, and we're in like the dairy section. Let's get through here as quickly as possible because I'm freezing. You know, and maybe you're the opposite. Like it cools down, you know, Penny is in Fort Bragg, Sparkle Girl. She's in Fort Bragg this weekend. And they're kind of my two faves because, you know, Trey like loves the hot, and Penny, she loves the cool temperature. And she's you know, so Trey, she basks in the hot temperatures. You know, Penny, she basks in the cool temperatures. I don't know where you're at, but you understand what I'm talking about, just basking in something, just loving it, just enjoying it, just drinking it and just soaking it in. Man, that's how we need to feel about forgiveness. We need to just bask in it. We need to celebrate it. We need to enjoy it. We need to say, this is the greatest thing ever. I hope that'll be your prayer, because this last word needs to remind us of our greatest blessing. Number 3, this last word reminds us of his role as our intercessor. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, page 862 in that Bible that we handed out. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a lot here in Hebrews that we could go. There's a lot of discussion about the Old Testament sacrificial system, the Old Testament priestly system, okay, where the people of God had to go through a human intermediary to get to God. There were sacrifices, there were special days, there were feasts, there were occasions, there were opportunities for God's people to be reconciled to God, but it was always through a human mediator, the high priest or the priestly class of the Old Testament Israelites. What the Bible teaches is that those human mediators are no longer necessary because Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus came to do in perfection what in the Old Testament we see as flawed because they're still just people. So we no longer need that human intermediary. Jesus says, I am now the great high priest and you can come to me directly through God. Go to God directly through me. Okay? You remember when you were in school and it was generally like junior high days, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade days, and you'd like pass a note to somebody, you know, you're passing a note. You know, you never pass a note to a girl. Like, you just couldn't do that. But what you do is you try to become friends with the girl that you liked, and so you'd give them a note, and then you'd say, would you please give that note to, you know, Sally or whoever? How many of you ever did that? Come on, be honest. Be honest. How many of you ever gave a note to pass to somebody else? All right, good. Those are all the honest people. You know, I used to do that all the time because I was so shy, believe it or not. I was so shy. I couldn't talk to a girl for anything. I would just shrivel. I would just shrivel up and die if I had to talk to a girl. I was one of those kids that used to, like, ride around the house of the girl that I liked on my bicycle. You know, today I would be a stalker. Today I would be on a watch list. You know, who is that strange manser child who keeps riding around my house? That's the kind of kid that I was. So I would always be, like, passing notes. And, hey, can you give this note to, you know, so-and-so, you know, because I can't talk to him. And then I'd pretend that, like, I was in my own world back then. But, right, we're used to this idea of, like, a mediator, okay? We don't need a human mediator anymore. We can go directly to God because of Jesus. He is our intercessor. Jesus Christ's death, it tore the veil. We read about that in Luke chapter 23. It tore the veil, it took away the separation between us and God. Praying in Jesus' name. You know, when we pray, we always close our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. We pray in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Well, because it's written in a book somewhere, right? That you're supposed to, you know, that's the way you're supposed to pray, the book of prayers, right? No, we pray in Jesus' name because we pray, we come to the Father because of the Son. I don't go to God in my own name. I go to God in Jesus' name. Why? Because he is my intercessor. He is my mediator. I no longer have to go through a human being to do that. You've heard that statement, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Helps us in life, helps us in our careers, helps us get ahead, okay? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you're in a good place. This last word reminds us of his role as intercessor. And number four, turn back to Ephesians chapter number four. This last word reminds us of the example we are left to follow. Reminds us of the example we are left to follow. In Ephesians 4, starting in verse 29, we read, Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This last word reminds us of our greatest need, forgiveness. It reminds us of our greatest blessing, being forgiven. Reminds us of his role as our intercessor, Jesus, our great high priest. And it reminds us of the example that we are left to follow. And this is the tough part, right? This is where it gets tough. This is where it gets difficult. Because we love the forgiveness we've been bestowed with, right? We love it. And as I said, we need to bask in it. We need to enjoy it. We need to revel in it and be so grateful. But when it comes to forgiving other people, I'm not quite on board with that one. But check it out. The Bible says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So that's forgiveness that we've received. It's not supposed, our lives are not the dead end zone. It doesn't just go here and stop. It's supposed to go from God to us and from us to others. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. What are some things that keep us from forgiving? Pride. We're just too proud sometimes to forgive. Hurt. Pastor Gary, I've been so hurt. You can't even imagine the hurt that I've experienced. I get it. Indifference. Just indifference. We just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Just, I don't want to think about it. I'm not going to think about that person. I'm not going to think about that situation. I'm not going to think about that conflict. I'm not going to think about what happened. I'm just going to kind of go on with life. And 6 days become 6 weeks. 6 weeks become 6 months. 6 months become 6 years. 6 years become 16 years. And we've never dealt with it. Why? Because we were indifferent. We just were indifferent. So what are some things to consider? What are some things to consider? Jot these down. They're not in your notes, but jot these down. Oh, that red is really hard to read. I'll remember that for next week. Forgiving is always, well, actually there's one before this. I was thinking about this morning as I was praying about my message. Forgiving does not come naturally. Forgiving is not natural to us. Forgiving is a supernatural thing. As God, you know, Jesus is on the cross. Jesus has been nailed to the cross for doing nothing. He did nothing wrong. He did nothing to deserve being on the cross, being beaten, being punished, being chastised. He was there solely because of his love for us and his desire to reconcile us back to his Father. He became the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. And we look at him and we say, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Say, I could never do that. That's exactly right. You couldn't. Forgiving is not a natural thing. It is a supernatural thing that we need God's power and God's enabling to be able to do. Okay? So that was the free one. Now here's the three that I did. Okay, number two, I guess now. Forgiving is always the right thing to do. It is always the right thing to do. It is always the right thing to do. Lots of times we have questions about, you know, what we should do in a certain situation. You know, how should I handle this? How should I take care of this? How should I deal with this person? How should I handle, you know, forgiving? When it comes to, whenever you ask yourself this question, should I forgive or should I not, always come down on the side of forgiving is always the right thing to do. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not in any means offering just platitudes this morning, but it is always the right thing to do. This would be number three, I guess. Number three, forgiving does not absolve bad behavior. Forgiving does not absolve bad behavior. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, unless everyone at that scene accepted Jesus as personal Savior, there were a lot of people there that were not absolved of their bad behavior. But it did not change Jesus' attitude as related to forgiving them. Say, Pastor, I can't forgive this person because of the terrible things that they have done. Your forgiving them has nothing to do with absolving them of the terrible things that they have done. I love this quote. Forgiveness is not about making the other person right in what they did. Forgiveness is about two things. First, it is obedience to your calling as a child of God. And second, it is an instrument that frees you from the bondage of resentment and revenge. The person you may be forgiving may not deserve it. One iota. Zero. But the Bible says to follow this example, Father, forgive them, for they know what they know not what they do. So forgiving is not natural, it is supernatural. It requires that enabling. Forgiving is always the right thing to do. Forgiving does not absolve bad behavior. Forgiving frees your spirit from the shackles of bitterness. It frees your spirit from the shackles of bitterness. Listen to this quote. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and only to finally discover that the prisoner was you. You are not helped. You are not made better. You are not drawn closer to God by refusing to forgive someone. It will only hurt you. So when we talk about forgiving, we're talking about setting free, setting yourself free from the shackles of the bitterness. And what does the Bible call a bitterness? A root of bitterness. A root. And a root has to be dug up. And roots can have all sorts of tendrils and reach into all different parts of our lives. You may have this situation that you're really struggling with. You're really having a hard time with this person or this situation. Sooner or later, if you do not deal with that, that root of bitterness is going to start affecting other parts of your life that you had no idea. It's like, well, that's over here. I've compartmentalized it, PG. It's over here. This stuff is over here. This stuff is over here. Those roots go underground. And forgiving frees your spirit from the shackles of that bitterness. Look, every single person here has been hurt. I have been hurt. You have been hurt. Some of you have been hurt deeply, wounded, so badly. Forgiving that person is not about absolving what they've done. It's about freeing yourself from the shackles of the bitterness that will affect your life down the road. This last word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, reminds us of the example we are left to follow. God, give us that same kind of attitude toward others. Leonardo da Vinci, just before he commenced work on his Last Supper painting, had a violent argument with a fellow painter. Leonardo was so bitter that he determined to paint the face of his enemy, the other artist, into the face of Judas. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him Judas and thus take his revenge by handing the man down in infamy and scorn to succeeding generations. The face of Judas was therefore one of the first that he finished, and everyone could easily recognize it as the face of the painter with whom he had quarreled. But when he came to paint the face of Christ, he could make no progress. Something seemed to be baffling him, holding him back, frustrating his best efforts. Finally, he came to the conclusion that the thing that was frustrating him was that he had painted the face of his enemy onto the face of Judas. He painted out the face of Judas and was then able to resume his work on the face of Jesus, and this time did it with the success that the ages have acclaimed. When Da Vinci moved past his right to take revenge and made the right response instead, he broke the power of hatred and allowed the love of Christ to have the last word. Let the love of Christ have the last word in your life. Accept his forgiveness. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you don't understand what we're talking about as it comes to this relationship with God and what Jesus has done for you. This morning, right where you're seated, you can accept Jesus in your life and be forgiven, be redeemed, be reconciled back to God and begin a new life, a new adventure of faith in following Jesus. So if that's you today, accept it. Accept that forgiveness. And if you're here and you have done that, bask in that forgiveness. If you've got it, bask in it. Be grateful for the forgiveness you've been given. And let the love of Christ be the last word in the life of that person you seemingly can't forgive. Who is that person? Who's on your list? Have you got a list? I've got one. Difficult situations, difficult people, people that have hurt me. Lord, may the love of Christ be the last word in the life of that person. And may I follow the example that's been set for me when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time this morning. And Lord, I pray that as your word is preached and your Holy Spirit moves in the hearts of people, that we would come to see the value of forgiveness, both the forgiveness that we've received and the forgiveness that we need to offer to others, whether they deserve it or not. May we be freed from the shackles of anger and hate and bitterness that begin to soon infect other parts of our lives. Father, work in hearts this morning, I pray. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor Greg, that's me today. That is me. Please pray for me in this closing prayer. please pray that God would give me a supernatural enabling to offer forgiveness to the people that have hurt me, that have wronged me, that have harmed me. That's my prayer. Would you lift up your hand really quick so that I could see it? Just lift it up and lower it back down. Amen. All over the room today. This is real stuff. This is where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff. Last time, anybody else this morning? Pastor Greg, pray for me in the closing prayer. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, I ask your blessing upon these, my friends, who lifted the hand this morning. My hand is lifted. Lord, as we struggle with pride, as we struggle with hurt, as we struggle with the indifference, we struggle with the things that hold us back from forgiving, I pray that you would give that supernatural enabling ability to forgive. Thank you so much for the forgiveness that's found in Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice for sins. Oh, Father God, may we bask in it today. We're so grateful for loving us so much. May that love not end with us. May it be extended outward to others, even the people that have wronged us. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All God's people said? Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, I hope that was a blessing and encouragement. It's good stuff. So next week is number, we're gonna do that. We're going to do the vote thing. So number two, Jesus speaks to the criminal. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise, that means there must be something after this life. Fascinating. We'll talk about that next week. I hope that you can join us. Okay, before we have this last song this morning, we are going to take just a brief moment. If you do not have a ballot, you need to get up right now and go back and get one, because Christy is back at the table. So if you've not yet gotten one and would like one, please take a moment, head on back there, and she will give you one. We have a motion from the advisory team. The motion is: the advisory team of Adventure Church of Yuba City moves to adopt the 2014 proposed amended budget, which includes moving into the new building located at 1100 Garden Highway in South Yuba City. All right? So I need a second from a member. I need a second.